Every era or every season has a particular figure that dominates that season. And I believe that the one figure who is most identified with the Advent season, and that's besides our Blessed Mother, is that of John the Baptist. Although our natural inclination is to associate him with the Lenten season and the call for penance, it is here during Advent season that John is the symbol of the prophetic. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Here the figure of John the Baptist. One of the depictions of John the Baptist that helps me to understand him is the image of almost a caged lion. I love that image that was portrayed so well in Jesus of Nazareth by Michael York. As he came out, as people would come out from Jerusalem, and these would be the wealthy individuals, people of means, that would come out to hear John's message. And they would come out to the cave where John would be, and they would encircle that cave, and he would come out almost like that lion or tiger in a zoo. And here Michael York comes out with his staff, and he's walking back and forth in this kind of urgency. And people are there waiting to listen to his message. They're hanging on him. But there he is, kind of going back and forth, prowling, if you want. There's an urgency and power in the message and warning, all to be vigilant. And he's unafraid of issuing the challenge. You'd almost wonder why people were there. You know, they didn't have to listen to him. They were individuals whose lives were comfortable. John was speaking the truth. And the truth resonated with those who, even though their lives were not necessarily in order with God, were seeking to hear God's message. And he would roar like the lion, "You brood of vipers." His almost reckless behavior comes from personal holiness. He knows what it is to be close to God. And he knows that others are called to the same. This is a man who lives on the extreme of life. We heard in the gospel, he's wearing clothes of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. He demands the attention of the community because of the life and death message he's delivering. Life for those who follow God, death to those who do not. It's imperative that people receive that message. In a truest sense, he is a prophet. But a prophet in our modern times is one who is confused with a fortune teller who predicts the future. Now, in one sense, the prophet is a fortune teller. He's telling you about the fortune that lies for those who follow the dictates of God. But it's certainly not necessarily one who predicts the future. Although the warnings of the prophet of Scripture often results in severe consequences, it's the result of the failure of the community to adhere to the warnings the prophet has issued. Now, it's an interesting aspect to kind of think of. If we're individuals who know what the right that should be done, and we can take a look at that, we can begin to testify and to witness to the fact that, you know, if you don't reform your ways, bad things will happen. And then when those bad things happen, you sound like a predictor of the future, when actually you are talking about the behavior here and now. What's happening? The prophet of the Old Testament is more a figure who tries to get us back on the right track. Now, we've got our director of music, Mr. Bacho, who's here with us. And he makes sure that we all sing on the right key. You know, he plays that organ and he makes sure that everybody is on the right key. But imagine a congregation where everyone is singing off key except one person, the prophet. And the prophet knows everyone is off key. What does he do? He tries to get everybody back on to the right key, to the right sense of music, to the harmony that is supposed to exist. It's the prophet trying to bring everybody back into the right order. It's his task to get everyone back on key. Might even see it's a better the image of a crowd of people rushing headlong into a cliff, to the edge of a cliff. The prophet, realizing what happens if they do not slow down, tries to turn them back before they destroy themselves. It's not that he's predicting their destruction, but he knows that it will happen if they don't change their ways. They don't change their ways. The prophet's urgency is a reminder to the community of their failure to live in a manner that God has established, to follow his plan, to acknowledge the covenant that the community has with God. Before, God is called to enact his punishment. And the punishment comes not necessarily directly from God, but as a consequence of the actions of not adhering to God. Remember, a consequence of sin often leads to a destructive personal or communal behavior. If we live without God and fail to follow his directions, then we'll reap the forces of evil and experience the violence. Think about our society. Think of how many people you have heard again and again coming forward, religious and even non-religious leaders coming forward and saying, we have forgotten God. We have failed to take God into the equation. We are turning our lives away from those things that we know are right and true about the dignity of human beings. We fail to live in a life of freedom that demands religious freedom as well as the freedom of the people that we are. When we start to turn away from God, there are consequences. So these voices are coming forward to remind us that we're on a destructive path. In 2007, I found myself in a missionary territory in Ghana. A number of priests in my prior diocese, the Diocese of La Crosse, so I went there to visit the various bishops who had sent priests to assist me in carrying out my duties as a bishop. It was a wonderful eye-opening experience. It's the first time that I was in Africa, and it was in this country, smaller country of Ghana, which had a tremendous impact in the entire continent because it was tremendously dedicated to education. And while I was in Ghana, of course, I went out to the various villages and various areas. There, I was there with one of the priests from the Diocese of La Crosse, as well as my head of the propagation of faith. And so we traveled around in basically a car, jeep. Going back to the territories. And one of the things that the missionary priests helped me to realize is that I forget how blessed we are. I get into my car and I can drive on a road that'll take me from point A to B in 20 minutes because the roads are great and they're wonderful and you can travel on it. However, realize when you don't have that 20-minute journey becomes an hour and a half. When you've got to go through different types of courses, or even when the road was attempted to be used, but now has been so used that there are these huge potholes. Make straight the path came to my mind almost immediately. If you want to travel from point A to B, make straight the path. Make sure that the road is clear so that you can travel it correctly. Make straight the path, the prophet says. And in the Old Testament, it was understanding that there was a significant person of prestige that was coming, and so the town would go out and make sure that the road was level as best as they could in order to receive this great person. Make straight the path. The question of the prophet today for all of us is make straight the path. Smooth the road out in your own life. Make sure that that person of prestige who is coming has a direct access and relationship to your hearts and souls. Make straight the path. So here we have John the Baptist telling us immediately, assess your lives, for the Lord is coming. This time in Advent tells us, assess your lives. Make straight the paths. Go to confession. Place yourself in your openness of your lives before God. We need to heed the warnings during the Advent season of St. John the Baptist. Getting our lives back on track. We should assess our personal lives, seeking forgiveness for our sins and reconciliation with God. The time is now to deepen our relationship with God, delighting in our fear of the Lord and welcoming one another for the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus who comes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.